The message today, as we continue, as Kevin said, in the Easter season, the title is Resurrection Means Restoration. And we're going to be looking at the text in John chapter 21, verses 1 through 19. And as we look at those verses, or actually in preparation for our time together this morning, you know, reading through the text and studying, you know, really can take you in a couple of, or actually a number of different directions. You know, there's so much in these 19 verses of Scripture. One interesting thing is how many times in the Gospel of John he mentions what happens after Jesus' resurrection. And it's much more than any of the other Gospels. In terms of reporting on what happened, we literally get zip from Mark about anything that happened after resurrection. Matthew only has 5 verses, and Luke contains 4 verses if you consider that the Emmaus story actually happened on Easter. But John brings it in his gospel. He's got 33 verses, including the story of the doubting Thomas, and then, you know, more stories after. And it would make sense that in a book that by John's own writing in chapter 20, verse 31, it says, and I'm paraphrasing a bit here, so, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and then by believing, you may have life through his name. All so that we might believe, and more than that, that you might have abundant life. Now, I mention this today because I really feel like this was, it seemed to be God's way of focusing to what is new here, but the story really, I mean, the story is the same, and it's repeated over and over and over again. I mean, it's a love story, and it is that divinely inspired word given to us. And with so many scriptures, the lens at which we look at the text, the place where we are in our own lives or in our own walks with Christ also play a big role in how we receive them when we read, study, and meditate on the Word. You know, I really think that it's a beautiful, beautiful thing when we take time to reflect on how God knows exactly what we need, when we need it, at that very moment that we need it. But to be clear, I'm going to refer back to the title of the message, which is Resurrection Means Restoration. And today we're going to be looking at one of the pillars of the church who experienced this restoration and did something with it. We may take a few side ventures along the way, but like my boss always tells me, we're going to keep the main thing this morning. So if you all are ready, we can begin. If you want to open your Bibles or if you can read along with me on the screen behind us, it's quite a lengthy reading this morning, but I'm going to read from my paper, which helps me out a little bit. But if you want to open your Bibles to John chapter 21, we're going to start at verse 1. And I'm reading from the ESV this morning, by the way. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and 2 others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we will go with you. And they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved, therefore, said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far off of the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out onto the land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out upon it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" For they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." Then he said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Tend my sheep." Then he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he asked him, "Lord, you know everything and you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was going to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me for just a moment? Gracious Father, we ask this day for your illumination on these words from Scripture. Open our ears to hear and write your message upon our hearts this day. Lead us to a deeper understanding of our restoration through your resurrection. Amen. So, before we dive directly into the text this morning, we need to look at some context to set the tone for the story that God is using to teach with today. So, Easter Sunday's come and gone. The resurrected Christ has revealed himself to the disciples on two different occasions. Now, that's just the disciples. He's revealed himself to Mary Magdalene and some others as well, but that's specifically these two different times he's revealed himself to the disciples. And this word revealed is important here because it harkens us back to the beginning of the Gospel of John, when John the Baptist came, and I quote, "so that the unknown one who stood among the people might be revealed to Israel." And that's recorded in John chapter 1, verse 31. So it's harking us back, it's pointing us back, same word in Scripture. So today we're going to walk through the Scriptures, so we're going to begin with chapter 21, and it says, "After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. And Simon Peter said to them, 'I'm going fishing.' And they said to him, 'We'll go with you.' And they went out and they got into the boat and they caught nothing." So this part of the verse kind of sets the set of where it is and the cast of the disciples that are gathered. So Jesus has been put to death. He was raised on the third day, and now he's roaming the earth before his ascension into heaven. And here are his faithful followers. They're now out spreading the good news. Well, maybe not. Nope, it seems they've gone back to their old ways. Let's go fishing. Back to what they knew before Jesus. I don't know if that strikes a chord with anyone this morning. It certainly does me. When things get tough, we tend to go back to what we knew before. Consider all that they had seen, heard, and experienced over just the last 3 years. But here they were, scattered like a bunch of sheep. without direction back into the world. And they had heard, the truth had been revealed to them, it had been standing in front of them, and yet here they were. I mean, folks, it had only been a few days, and it seemed like they had forgotten all the heavenly things and only remembered the worldly ones. But hear the good news this morning. Jesus wasn't done with them yet. And he wasn't going to leave them where they were for sure. And those great fishermen, what did they catch? Nothing. Just like in the story in Luke, without Jesus, it was fish one, fishermen zero. And the word translated here is caught in the Greek is also used several times in the Gospel of John for the unfulfilled attempts whenever they were tried to apprehend or arrest Jesus. Jesus' enemies were only able to fulfill their desires when Jesus allowed it. Did you hear that? They were only able to fulfill their desires when Jesus allowed. And so too, the church's mission can only bear fruit because of the presence, will, and work of the risen Lord. We would all be good to remember that this morning. Going on, verse 4 says, just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? And they answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. So they cast it out, and they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. And the disciple whom Jesus loved, therefore, said to Peter, it is the Lord. And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. Now, does anybody else have a little sense of deja vu, or like we've been here before? This story sounds very familiar. A similar story is told in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, with Jesus telling Peter to throw out to the deep water to cast your nets. And that was the first time that we'd met Peter. It was the story of Jesus calling Peter to follow him and to be fisher of men. And the word haul here is another key word in the Gospel of John. It's used in chapter 12, verse 32, when Jesus says, and I, when lifted up from the earth, will draw, which is the same Greek word for haul, all men to myself. And then again in chapter 6, verse 44, it says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws, same Greek word for haul here, him to me. And we'll see that word a couple more times. And Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord. You know, when he said it, heard that he was the Lord, but he didn't recognize him. But when he did hear that it was the Lord, he girded up his outer garment and threw himself into the sea. And I spent quite a bit of time in study and preparation, I will tell you, trying to figure out why Peter wasn't dressed in his boat fishing. But I realized that's not really important in this story, right? But he girded up his outer garment and he threw himself into the sea. And the word therefore, when we were reading that, implies that he didn't recognize him, but John did. And John recognized Jesus not because he saw him, but he recognized the work of Jesus when the haul of fish was coming in. He'd seen that before. And it stands in stark contrast to Peter, who had to hear that it was the Lord. But then, I mean, just imagine this picture, this big barley fisherman just tossing himself in the water. He couldn't wait. I'd like to imagine myself here not wanting to wait, but throwing all caution to the wind and just diving in into the ocean or into the sea to get to my Jesus, to my Savior. Now the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, as they were not far off from the land, but about 100 yards. When they got to the land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out upon it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask who you are. They knew it was the Lord. So now we have a campfire with Jesus. He was meeting them where they were. He was meeting them in the ordinary. Isn't that where God always meets us? Where we are, in the ordinary. Fish and bread already on the charcoal fire. A fire just like the one that Peter stood before and denied his Savior three times only a few days before. Yet here's Jesus, meeting him where he was, confronting the denial, but not with condemnation, instead with an invitation. An invitation to join him in a meal. That's a pretty cool Jesus I like to hang out with. And the meal was already on the grill, right? Yet Jesus asked him to bring more. Now, I think there's probably a sermon in just that one line alone. So much abundance with Jesus, brothers and sisters, so much abundance. And yet the net was not torn, so not a single fish could get loose. And the word here in the Greek would be schizo, which is from our, well, which we bring our word, schism is derived. You see, with Christ, there is no schism. There was no tear in the net. Only unity in Christ's church. And those are rich words this morning in the text. So Jesus came and took the bread and he gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. You see any Last Supper represented here, maybe? Some correlations between those two? But now we come to the focus of the story, and the focus is restoration. So I'm going to continue with verse 15. He said, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said, "Tend my sheep." And he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by which kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." And he was restored. Restoration. You know, in the first two questions, if you study the Greek again, the word that's used is agape, which is unconditional love. It's a love from God above. It's a love that sometimes we have a hard time understanding. Unconditional. And Peter always responds in the filio, which is the brotherly love, which is the human love, right? Because that's what he understands. When Jesus asks a third time, in the Greek, he uses the filio. Again, he's meeting Peter where he is. And this is why Peter was grieved, because he finally saw it. He saw it, that Jesus was meeting him where he was. And his Savior was coming to his level to meet him where he is and raise him up. And isn't that what he does and is still doing today? Meeting us where we are, in the ordinary, and offering restoration. Leaving behind the guilt and the shame of all of our denials. I mean, God met Moses on the mountainside tending his sheep. Joshua scouting out Jericho and visiting a brothel, I'm pretty sure that he wasn't there looking for God, but instead he met Rahab and got a sermon. And two travelers on that first Easter who had left Jerusalem literally to get away from it all and escape the sadness of the past few days, only to discover Jesus on the road to Emmaus. Perhaps this is your ordinary place that you come to every Sunday. A safe place of refuge from the world. Did you come here this morning for restoration, brothers and sisters? You know it's available. It's available when you meet the resurrected Lord. Because resurrection means restoration. And he's waiting for you in all the ordinary places. We only need to recognize him, gird up our outer garment, and jump in the water. I offer this to you this morning in the name of Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.